Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. Those of you who have worshipped with us previously this week know that we've been focusing on the places of the Passion, the different locations that Jesus went with his disciples on the road to the cross. And so today we come to the last place, the last location, the tomb. And at the tomb, we hear the angel's message, "You are looking for Jesus, the Nazarene, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here." Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for the good news of Easter. We thank you for the opportunity, the privilege to gather again this year to celebrate that reality. And we pray your blessing over us now as we meditate on your word to us in Jesus' name. Amen. So we come to the tomb, a gravesite, a cemetery. It's a strange place for the most important thing that Christians believe has ever happened to happen. It's an eerie place. It's an uncomfortable place. You know that if you've spent much time in cemeteries. It's a place of the dead. But we are here because Jesus is here, or at least because Jesus was here. Our discipleship, our following in Jesus' footsteps, has led us to this place. This is where he wants us, at least for a time. So it's early in the morning as the women arrive on that first Easter Sunday. They didn't have the benefit of an extra hour's sleep either, like you did. But they arrive there at the tomb and they arrive to anoint Jesus' body with their spices and their perfumes to make it smell nice, to make it a beautiful place. Much like we do when we go along to a cemetery to place flowers by the grave of someone dear to us, so these women go to honour Jesus in his death. That's not insignificant. And it's not insignificant when we do that kind of thing either. To show honour to someone is an honourable thing. But here at the tomb, as the new day dawns, there is the signal that a new era is also dawning. These women have no idea what awaits them as they come to the tomb. They have no idea how their grief and their sorrow and their understanding of reality is going to be forever changed. There at the tomb. They have no idea what awaits them. Weeping may remain for the night, says the psalmist, but joy comes in the morning. This place of the dead will soon become a place of joy, but not quite yet. Firstly, it becomes a place of inquiry and a place of curiosity for them. As they're on their way to the tomb, they ask each other, "Who will roll the stone away from the entrance?" It's a very practical question. Who will roll the stone away? Now, these stones weren't easy to move, and they weren't usually just rolled into place. They were jammed into place and wedged into place for the very purpose that no one could easily move them. And so as they're walking along, they're asking each other this very practical question. Who's going to move the stone away for us? Now that question begs other questions. One of them being, where are all the men on this occasion? Because this was usually their job to move the stone away. But they're not there. And we read later that they're scared and they're scattered and they're hiding away behind locked doors, fearing that Jesus' fate would be their fate. And so it's the women on this occasion who prove the faithful followers, but as they walk along, they're asking these questions of each other. Who will roll the stone away? Now, we all have questions that we bring to the tomb. We all have questions that we bring to Easter Sunday, and that's not a bad thing. And some of our questions are very practical and very surface level. You know, what time's the service? And are they going to have hot cross buns there? And those sort of questions. But some of the questions go deeper too. What does all this mean? Who did roll the stone away? Who was that guy sitting there in white? Wasn't Vicar Mitch. What did his words mean when he said, "He has risen, he is not here"? And what's the ongoing relevance of Easter for us as the church? And how did this small group of first century Jewish people, now scared and scattered and totally at odds with the Jewish leadership and the Roman leadership, whose own leader was dead, how did they ever come back from this? How did they ever prove of any significance to the world whatsoever after that moment? The answer of Scripture and the answer of the Christian church for 2,000 years has been the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's how. That was the turning point. That's what made all the difference. And so as we come with our questions. And it's good to come with our questions. But it's also good to hear the answers that are given. When they looked, they saw the stone, which was very large, had already been rolled away. And as they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. "Don't be alarmed," he said. "You're looking for Jesus the Nazarene who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him?" Again, "See the place? Come in, have a look, inquire. Check it out for yourselves. Observe, ask, explore the miracle of the resurrection." We've been running an adult confirmation course here at St. Mark's for the last 4 or 5 weeks. And in fact, one of those people, part of that course, will be confirmed later today at our service. And one of the things that's amazed me about this course is the questions people have brought. Serious, deep, searching questions about Christian faith, life, baptism, sin, grace, communion, preparation, everything. Deep, searching questions. In fact, one of the other people from the course who's here today as well commented how refreshing it was, because when they grew up in their church, people weren't encouraged to ask questions. That's a shame. Because as the women come along to the tomb, they have questions, and the tomb is the right place to bring those questions. Because it's where we find answers. Christians are not people who leave their questions and their brains at the door when they come in. They're not to be unthinking people, but inquiring people, asking people, questioning people, searching people. The place of the dead is the place of inquiry. But what we find at the tomb is that the questions we thought we had now need to be re-asked and reinterpreted in the light of a very new reality. Who's going to roll the stone away? That's their big question. They get there to find the stone's already gone. Question answered, in one sense. Something else is there, and in the days that follow, hundreds of people will report that they've seen the risen Lord Jesus. That he's met with them, that he's spoken with them, that he's eaten with them. And that absolutely scattered band of people will come together. And that absolutely scared group of people will be emboldened. And what looks to be a dying movement, and was a dying movement, is all of a sudden alive. The resurrection. It's the answer to the question. It's the resounding answer of Scripture and of 2,000 years of church history, and we are the recipients and we're the beneficiaries of that answer. The resurrection is not just our answer, but it's God's resounding response to the great problems of sin and death that every person of every time and every place must face. And here we have God's response. And it's a response full of grace
and mercy and peace, because it's a response of victory, of life over death. The place of inquiry becomes the place of victory as this message is heard, and not just the message of his resurrection, but this message: go tell his disciples and Peter, he's going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you. You see, we're in one place, but he's already going on ahead to another place. We're standing there at the tomb, and he's already off to Galilee. We're surrounded by death and decay and the realities of life in this world, and he is calling us forward into a new place and a new era and the dawn of a new day in which all things are possible by the power of God. Things we never thought possible are now possible. Get going, the angel says. You can't stay here. Go tell the others. There's work to do. There's a message to spread. There's a life to live. But it's not here. It's out there. So get going. And the angel sends them on their way. It doesn't end here, in other words. But there is more. There is life beyond the grave. And so we read that the women left the tomb and they were trembling and bewildered. And they said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. Notice they're still human. They're still real. They still have questions out the other side of the tomb. They still have things that make them fear and worry, get concerned about. But as they step away from the tomb, they step into a new world and a new reality. One they could have never imagined, in which all things are possible by the power of God. Friends, we still step foot into that reality. Whether we do it joyfully or fearfully or with great questions or great concern or great happiness, we step foot into that reality because that's where Jesus is. And the risen Jesus still meets us, where he promises to meet us as we gather. He meets us in the water of baptism. He meets us in the bread and wine of Holy Communion. He meets us at the bedside when we go to visit someone who's sick or downcast or dying. He's there. He goes on ahead of us. When we go to the cemetery, when we go to the graveside to place our flowers with tears in our eyes, he's there. And he meets us there. And we go to honor someone, and he's already there to honor us. Because that's what the risen Lord always does. He says, "Peace be with you. This promise is for you, and it's for your children and your children's children and all who are far off." The promise of life, of victory over the grave. May that promise be yours today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that today you call us to the tomb. But when we arrive at the tomb, we find that the questions we had need to be reconsidered in the light of everything you have won for us there. We thank you that this is a place of joy, a place of honor, a place of gratitude. And we thank you that from this place you call us forward in life, forward into a new life, where forgiveness and grace and mercy and peace can be ours, and ours to share with the world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.